What's up, everybody? And I have to apologize that I am just now getting the October 2018 Investor's Digest market update out. Had a kind of a cold last bit of the month and finishing two rehabs, so a lot of time was spent, and I just never got around to completing the market update. So I apologize that the information might seem a little dated, but did get some good stuff that kind of came out towards the end of the month that I threw in here towards the end about the Texas and the San Antonio economy specifically. So I've got 15 minutes, so we'll just go ahead and jump right in. The average sales price in San Antonio is up to $261,825, which is a 6.81% increase year over year. And if you're just joining us for the first time on this market update, when anytime you see the YOY, that means year over year. Median sales price is up 5.4% from this time last year, up to $210,000, but it's down from our high that we hit in July of $225,000. But that's seasonal for heading into the winter months when prices and everything kind of suppress and the market slows down a little bit. Total sales actually decreased 2.5% to $25,23. Average rental price for the second time this year also decreased to $14,53. Didn't decrease a lot, only 0.8%. But that's something that historically usually never really decreases year over year. It just continues to slowly rise at a 1%, 2%, in between 0.5% to 1.5%. So to see it decrease is kind of a little bit concerning with the decrease in sales as well, but not too worried about it unless it continues to happen month over month. Employment is at 1.133 million. Which is a 1.55% increase year over year. So that's good that we are gaining jobs at 1.5% year over year. Lost a few jobs from this previous month, but nothing I'm really too worried about when we're looking at an unemployment rate of 3.45%. Now this is the August data. That stuff is usually runs in a 2 month lag. The unemployment did decrease from previous month, even though we lost some jobs. So that's good decreased 0.05, not anything marginal, but the national average is at 3.7 and to see us at 3.45, that is fantastic unemployment rates. Months inventory did increase, but that is to be expected with the time of year that we're entering, heading into the colder winter months. That usually kind of always happens. Months inventory increase in the colder months and decreases in the colder months, or warmer months. So you can see the real estate cycles. So month inventory usually kind of tends to increase over here into the winter months and then would fall down. The other way. Month inventory increases down here in the bottom. These are your winter months and increases in decreases in the warmer months. So this is our real estate cycles that you can kind of see. It's smooth roller coaster, not a smooth roller coaster, but it goes up in the wintertime, up in the summertime, down in the wintertime, up in the summertime, down in the wintertime. That's something to kind of keep in mind when you're buying and trying to price rehabs and get them on the market, looking at demand on when prices do intend to increase. If you're looking at selling a rental property, maybe try to structure a lease to where you can put it on the market in the April, May, June timeframe and not wait and try to list in the December timeframe, which is kind of down here in your bottom when median sales prices tend to fall. So definitely keep that in mind, but you can see that we're kind of following the normal trend once we start hitting into the colder months of the median sales price starting to tick down a little bit. Now, monthly rents, this is where I was saying, this is something that kind of got me a little worried this year to see the volatility and the average rents, because it's usually much more smooth and then kind of comes down and back up and always rises year over year. But this last month, it really kind of dropped off and we actually decreased from this time last year. But the same kind of cycles do continue to where you might want to think about structuring your leases for all the landlords out there. Structure them in the April timeframe for your year on renewals so that if you do have a tenant move out, you can get it when the demand is the highest and they have the most price appreciation on your average rent. So keep that in mind. That's something I do. I know several other investors I know structure their leases just that way. If they pick up a property, they'll only do a 5 month lease to get them to where they can go April and then start them on the 12 month leases. 20 year unemployment. This is why I say I'm not too worried about any kind of increases or decreases at this time of any significant amount, because we are at such a historical low. Now, if I saw a half a month's rise continuing month over month over month, then I'd kind of start to be sounding the alarm and looking for other indicators of what's going on in the economy. Because if we're losing jobs, That means people aren't employed, aren't making money, and that is going to eventually spill over into the real estate market because nobody's going to try to buy a house if they don't have a job. So that's why I want to keep a track of this, as because you can see how fast the unemployment rates can really take off and hit their highs before they start trickling back down. Year-over-year appreciation, you can kind of see here that we were just about, I think it was like 5.5%. One thing that I kind of watch for this is the average historical price appreciation sits about anywhere from 3 to 4% on the values. But we've been kind of trickling since coming out of the recession at 5.5%. So I don't know how long we can continue to increase at that fast appreciation rate if our wages and jobs don't keep up. But I did find some good information as far as that does support some of the growth and the appreciation that we have had. Now, long-term growth business cycle of San Antonio. Last month we did trick back down, but we did start coming back up. We're below the long-term growth average, but we still are growing, which is to be expected since we did get above the growth average for such a long period of time between 2010 and 2016, or essentially through 2017, to where we started kind of coming back down. So something I'm going to kind of continue to watch to see if we start getting red hot again and growing at a faster pace than normal, because with growth comes price appreciation, comes new housing population, and that can really kind of put a lot of pressure on supply and demand to increase house values. And this is where I was saying that as long as wages continue to rise, it can support the influx of people and the prices of how fast they're rising. So San Antonio is always historically lower than the United States, but we have kind of fallen off as part of all of Texas, as you can see, like where we were in 2010, 2011. Now we have started coming up at a very fast rate. From year over year, we were up 5.2%. This is something I read in the article that I got this image from. These Texas only raised at 1.7. Nationally, it was at 3, but San Antonio is up 5.2 year over year. So if we have that appreciation of 4, 5, 6, 7%, but wages are able to keep up with that, then there is a good fundamentals of why that appreciation is happening, and that it could continue to run for an extended period of time. So it was good information that I found. That's good to see that San Antonio is getting up there and starting to catch back up with the rest of Texas and the United States. So now the favorite parts about the market update is where to market. And if you're seeing this for the first time, I do this by price range and by zip code of based on months of inventory and price ranges to see like where's most in demand housing, where is the most supply and demand offset to where price appreciation can happen. And they say a balanced market is 6 months inventory. And what that really means is if no new houses were put up for sale, then it would take 6 months for every house to be sold on the entire market. So anytime we start dropping below that 6 months of inventory, that means you're entering a seller's market. That means there's more buyers than there are houses for sale. And the lower that number gets, the more in demand those houses are, and the faster those zip codes can appreciate. So you can kind of see where our most in demand housing is in that 100 to 250 price range. Before we start really climbing up to 4.3, 4.7, getting up here once you get over 250. Now these have shifted some because this 1 month jump used to be from the 200 to 250. It still kind of is there, but in the summer months, these did get a lot closer. So you can kind of really take this into consideration of where to target if you're trying to find houses to where you can get them sold quick. Now you have bigger margins in your higher price ranges, potential for profit, but you are holding on to these things for longer, so it gets a little more risky. And if economy starts to get a little shaky and fall off, these higher zip code or price points might fall a lot further than some of these areas where the most in-demand housing is, and you're kind of affordable housing entry-level home buyer. So now we do it by the zip codes where the most in demand is, and then I break it down to 2 years ago so you can see how far some of these zip codes have kind of come. Now I'll adjust this once I get to December and do it on a 2 year mark, but this is just the first time that I did the zip code back in December 2016. So now zip codes 78233, which is kind of the on the northeast side by Live Oak 1604 and I-10 or 35 over there, excuse me. of where the most in-demand housing, and these are some pretty big zip codes. Keep in mind, 78233, 251, 252, 250, 247. There's a lot of housing stock in there. So to see prices, a month's inventory at 2.35 down to 2, that is a lot of housing. It's a very in-demand places that people want to live, and you can kind of see it how appreciation has kind of come up over these zip codes over time. And you can see with these low months inventory over time, so you can see like 7249 in 2016 was at 208 and is now at 237. So price appreciation does push it up over time, having these low months inventory for a long extended period of time. So definitely something to keep in mind if you are targeting certain areas and trying to buy and hold as well, because 7217, prime example, it's $50,000 in median sales price has gone up in less than 2 years. So keep that in mind, guys. Now, month's inventory as far as the worst. Now, it's not to say these are bad zip codes. This is something to keep in mind that if you are renovating properties in these areas, and it's no surprise that these are all in the 300, 250 to and up, except for 78210, which is a downtown area. A lot of renovations of much older homes going on in that area. So keep this in mind when you are renovating these houses in these areas of what your competition, your months of inventory really are, because that's your competition. And if you're holding a $400,000 house and you've got a hard money loan and you're paying interest on these things, that can really hurt you over time, because this 6 months inventory, every interest payment comes straight out of your bottom line. So it's definitely something to keep in mind. And it's interesting to look at this, that some of these zip codes have actually come down from their highs in December of 16. The prices have actually fallen amongst these higher price points. So that's why for us, where we target, we like to target these 200 to 250 or 100 to 250 price ranges of these low months of inventory, because you can kind of really see not one of these really fell down from their from 2016. They all have risen. Making sure, yep, none of them have fallen from December 16, but you can kind of see how it is at the higher price points where there is much higher months inventory across the city, a lot for a buyer to choose from anywhere from 4 to 9 months inventory. And you can see how that can affect long term. So keep this in mind. So if you are in one of these zip codes, you can get good margins out of them, but you need to build in that you might have to hold these things for a long period of time or put more into the rehab than you might have to in a $150,000 house. You're not going to get away with not putting some of the stuff that you can get away with in the 150s, as far as maybe like small things like changing out the electrical plugs or putting shower curtains or glass doors and stuff like that on. So you got to really complete these rehabs to make them look beautiful. Pictures, sorry about that. Putting staging and good pictures, spending money on the areas that you can get a good ROI, the intrinsic values, I like to call it, of like what the buyers are actually paying for. And that's the pretties of the house. So like your kitchens, your bathrooms, the different countertops, the flooring styles, the landscaping can be a big factor when you come to these higher price points. So stuff to definitely keep in mind. So again, sorry for getting this out late. Been fighting that cold and have been pretty busy lately. So, but if you guys have any questions, feel free to email me at the john@primehomes.com. Definitely give out to social media, check us out on Facebook and Instagram, and give our podcast a listen of The Investor's Journey, where we break down what we're doing weekly, what's going on, tips and tricks of the trade that we use to run our business. Otherwise, we will see you guys next month.